Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, December 28th, 2021, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to the 25th Psalm, this great acrostic psalm. We are in verses 8 and 9, studying one of the most important doctrines of the Word of God, one of the most important virtues that you as a believer can develop, and that is humility. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 25, start at verse 8, verses 8 and 9. Good and just is the Lord, and therefore he teaches sinners in his ways. Verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right, and he intensively teaches and trains the humble his ways. The author, the human author of Psalm 25 is David. And as David writes this, he has been driven from his palace by his own son, and revolutionary forces have driven him out of Jerusalem. He's currently down in the desert south of Jerusalem with some of his loyal establishment forces. And as David writes Psalm 25, well, he's like all of us. He's not perfect. None of us are perfect. We all have a sin nature and a free will. And we all sin. David did as well. Very grievous sins. Committed adultery with Bathsheba. Murdered her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And spent quite a bit of time in immoral degeneracy in Satan's cosmic system. And yet David is one of the most humble believers in the Word of God. Humility is the ability to look into the mirror of God's Word and see yourself what you really are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When David looked into the Word of God and saw looked into the mirror of the Word of God and saw what he was, it was pretty awful and ugly. But David came to his senses. He came to his senses and rebounded and got back into fellowship with God. Psalm 32, verse 5. And God forgave him. God forgave him, and that was it. Now, a lot of legalistic, self-righteous believers did not forgive David. Ahithophel, Bathsheba's grandfather, he didn't forgive David. In fact, he wanted revenge. He wanted to destroy David. And that's why he joined Absalom in the revolution. Self-righteous, there will always be self-righteous, legalistic believers who will never forgive you because they are arrogant. Arrogant believers. They think they're great, but they're not. They're the losers. God forgives and forgets. The believer living the spiritual life forgives and forgets. And if you can't forgive and forget, you're not living the spiritual life. And you have no humility. You're arrogant. And you're living in Satan's cosmic system. David, yeah, he wasn't perfect. He did commit grievous sins. But when he saw what he was, it was so ugly, so awful, he came to his senses and rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, and became the greatest king in Israel's history. The greatest king in Israel's history. And the revolutionary forces were destroyed by the establishment army under David. Absalom died the sin unto death during the battle. Ahithophel died the sin unto death shortly afterward. David was restored to king and given greater grace blessings than he ever had before. And so when he writes here that he, God, guides the humble in what is right. First of all, verse 8, he teaches sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right. And he intensively teaches and trains the humble his ways. Humility is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. The foundational virtue. This virtue has to be developed in your life. If you don't have the foundational virtue of humility, you will never, ever develop the virtues of Christ. All the rest of the Christian virtues, you will never, ever have. This is the foundation. And on this foundational virtue of humility, if you have humility, well, then you will build the motivational virtue, which is personal love for God the Father. Once you develop the motivational virtue, then you will develop the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. And then you will develop the greatest of all, occupation with Jesus Christ and sharing the happiness of God. But if you don't have the foundational virtue of humility, you will never, ever have the motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father. You will never have the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. You will never have occupation with Christ or share the happiness of God. This is the key right here. Humility. David had humility. Humility is freedom from arrogance. Freedom from arrogance. And therefore, humility cannot and does not exist in Satan's cosmic system. In cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. In cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. One must be humble to learn Bible doctrine. Humility means that you're filled with the Spirit today in the church age, which gives you objectivity and teachability. Humility, or being humble in the unique spiritual life of the church age, is recognition of the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and responding to the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ through the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. He's the head, we're the body. He's the authority, we are not. And we are commanded to hupotasso our Lord Jesus Christ, to be subordinate to the authority of Jesus Christ. No one can learn the mind of Christ Bible doctrine without humility, and no one can advance in the plan of God without learning Bible doctrine. The greatest human mentality, the greatest human genius or ability or talent is totally neutralized by arrogance. Under God's grace plan, only the humble succeed. Since the Bible is the mind of Christ, submission to the authority of our Lord is tantamount to consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. We submit by our consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. If we become neglectful of the Word of God and assembling in a sound Bible-teaching church to metabolize doctrine, well, we are in a state of arrogance and rebellion. There is no substitute for humility in the spiritual life. Arrogant people are unteachable, and arrogant believers never grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Humility is understanding your own helplessness and appreciating what God, in His grace and His power, can do. Humility is objectively evaluating your own life in the light of what the Word of God teaches. You look in the mirror of the Word of God, and you objectively see what you really are. We started a doctrine of humility, and we only got one point. Of course, it was three pages, but we only got one point. That, going over point one, humility is a system of thinking and a way of life. As a system of thinking, humility is freedom from arrogance, both subjective and objective arrogance related to Christian degeneracy. Satan's cosmic system of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, and the three arrogant skills of self-absorption, self-deception, self-justification. Humility is a system of thinking before it becomes a way of life. Humility is a comfortable and a relaxed system of thinking. Humility is having an RMA, relaxed mental attitude. When you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you have an MAS. So what do you have tonight? Do you have an RMA or an MAS? Or MASs? And STs. Mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Humility is relaxed mental attitude. If you have mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, well, you have no humility. Humility is a system of thinking that reaches its peak in spiritual adulthood. The humility of a believer in spiritual adulthood no longer feels threatened, no longer has self-pity, no longer makes an issue out of yourself in hypersensitivity. Genuine humility is totally relaxed. Humility as a system of thinking then becomes a way of life. As a system of thinking, humility is freedom from arrogance in any form. As a way of life, humility includes recognition and submission to legitimate authority in life. Excuse me. I didn't use my muscles down here. I used them up here and strained my vocal cords. Sometimes I get a little intense on some of these things. Pretty good stuff. It's just tea, green tea. As a way of life, humility has maximum respect for the authority of God, maximum respect for the authority of the Word of God, maximum respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. Humility is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. All the rest of the virtues of Christ are built on the foundational virtue of humility. Humility is the very core of integrity and virtue. Humility is grace dependence on the Lord under pressure. It's recognition that a far greater power is operating in your life. Humility is the basis for thinking under pressure. Courage and poise are the clothing which covers thinking with glory. Poise, the function of humility in normal life. Courage is the function of humility in abnormal circumstances of life. Humility is a state of honor and integrity. Humility is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Humility cannot and does not exist when you're living in Satan's cosmic system. We studied passages, Proverbs 15:33, Proverbs 11:2, Proverbs 29:23, as well as our passage, Psalm 25:8-9. So humility is teachability. No believer who is arrogant living in the cosmic system can learn the absolute truth of God's Word. Without humility, there is no teachability. Teachability demands enforced humility, which becomes genuine humility. Humility is the basic system of teachability. No one has the ability to learn, no matter how great his human IQ, unless he also possesses humility. A great human IQ with arrogance will only distort or refuse or reject the Word of God. Humility is what keeps the person with a high IQ in a teachable state. Teachability recognizes two things, the authority of the teacher and the content of the message, and therefore the authority of the Word of God as the thinking of Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ. We studied the most humble person in the world at the time that the Old Testament came, and that was Moses. Moses was the most declared to be the most humble person on the face of the earth. Numbers 12, verse 3. And this is Moses who went up to Mount Sinai and was given the Mosaic Law. And when he came down from Mount Sinai, he had a glory on his face. His face shone with a glory. In fact, it was so bright that the people of Israel, when they saw Moses coming down, they couldn't look at him and concentrate. They could only kind of glance at him and look away and glance at him and look away. And Moses would come down and he would teach the first segment of the Mosaic Law. And then he would go back up and get the next segment of the law and come back down. Then he'd go up and get the next segment of the law and come down and teach that. Well, he is leading 2 million believers in reversionism. Moses is the most humble man on the face of the earth. He's got 2 million Jewish believers who are in reversionism, living in the cosmic system. Arrogant. They have no humility at all. And what are they doing while Moses is getting the glorious Mosaic Law? We're going to see that the Mosaic Law has a glory. We're going to see that in our Wednesday class, and when we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, an entire chapter devoted to glory, contrasting the glory of the Mosaic Law with the glory of the spiritual life of the church age. An entire chapter. Moses came down. What were these 2 million reversionistic believers doing? Well, they created an idol. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And so they created a golden idol of a calf. And they were worshiping that golden idol. And while they were worshiping the golden idol, they got into sexual degeneracy, orgies, having orgies while they were worshiping the idol. And Moses comes down with the law. And he saw them. They're believers. 2 Corinthians 3 says they have a veil. They have a veil over their heart. What is that veil? Scar tissue of the soul. Moses, here they got the greatest Bible teacher in the Old Testament, Moses. And they rejected what Moses taught. And every time they said no to the teaching of the Word of God by Moses, scar tissue was built on their heart. They'd say, Moses would teach, they'd say no, scar tissue was built on their heart. Moses would teach, they'd say no, scar tissue was built on their heart. They had scar tissued souls. They were arrogant, degenerate. They had no humility. No respect for God, no respect for the Word of God, no respect for Moses. In fact, they accused Moses of bringing them out in the desert to kill them. Moses didn't bring them out to the desert to kill them. He's taking them to the land that God promised them. So Moses smashed the golden idol, put it in water, and took it around and had them all drink it. I want you to think about that. He smashed it, took it around, told them all to drink it. And then we have Moses is the most humble man on the face of the earth. Why is he the most humble man on the face of the earth? He has 100% respect for God and for the Word of God. And the 2 million reversionists that he's leading have no respect for God or the Word of God. They're living in arrogance and total degeneracy. So that was all under point one. Point one, humility is a system of thinking and a way of life. Now that brings us to point two. Humility as a mandate and a motivation for life. Humility as a mandate and motivation for life. The mandate for humility is found in Proverbs 3, 33 to 35. So turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, 33 to 35. Proverbs 3, 33 to 35. For the Lord's curse is on the house of evil, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He, the Lord, scorns or mocks the arrogant mockers and scorners. But he gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to dishonor and shame. One. The house of evil is the family that's living in Satan's cosmic system. They have no humility. The house of evil is the family living in Satan's cosmic system. They have no humility. Two, the evil family is a family that is characterized by rejection of authority. They're characterized by rejection of authority. All different kinds of authority. Three. Parents pass on to their children their own rejection of authority. We see that so much today. The parents reject authority. And then the children learn from the parents. And the children also reject authority. They're just watching and learning from you, parents. Four, the house of evil is the family that promotes the many aspects of arrogance. The house of evil is the family that promotes the many aspects of arrogance. Five, the home of the righteous is the family of believers living under God's plan for that dispensation in humility. Now in the church age today, it's the family living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. But the home of the righteous is the family of believers living under God's plan for that dispensation in humility. Six, the wise person is the one who through humility is teachable. The wise person is the one who through humility is teachable. Wisdom is the word of God that you learn and believe. When you believe the truth of God's word, it goes into your heart, it becomes wisdom. Chokhmah in the Hebrew, Sophia in the Greek, and that is the word of God you believe. Wisdom you can apply skillfully and accurately to your life, to your circumstances, and today by the power of the filling of the Spirit. Seven, the fool spends his whole life in shame and dishonor. The fool spends his whole life in shame and dishonor. And then we have James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5 and 6. James 4:6, God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, you don't want to go to war with God. If you're arrogant, God goes to war with you, and he never loses. God goes to war with the arrogant. The arrogant believer starts out with self-induced misery, and if that doesn't turn things around, then God has to step in with divine discipline. Warning discipline, intensive discipline. If you don't change, dying discipline. God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. God went to war with the arrogant believer Absalom. He died the sin unto death. God went to war with the arrogant believer Ahithophel in his self-righteous arrogance and legalism. And God went to war with him and he died the sin unto death. But God gave grace to the humble. David has tremendous humility. Fantastic humility. The greatest respect for God and the Word of God. And he was blessed and restored as King of Israel. Turn over to the second passage, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, because this includes the local church, and that's important. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. It starts out in verse 5, young men. Now, this doesn't mean that this is speaking just to young men. In our congregation, we have a hard time finding somebody to qualify for that. This is the congregation in comparison with the pastor-teacher. Comparative novices, we would say. Comparative novices, congregation, in the same way, be submissive. Hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S long O. Military term. Used by the Apostle Paul again and again and again. Here it's used by Peter. Hupotasso. Be subordinate to the authority of. That's what hupotasso means. Comparative novices, congregation, in the same way, be subordinate to the authority of your pastor. All of you, clothe yourself with humility, now listen, toward one another, to the rest of the congregation. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God goes to war with the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up, promote you in due time, at the exact right time, in God's perfect timing. A couple of things on this passage. One, in verse 5, the relationship among believers in a congregation should always be one of humility. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. So the relationship among believers in a congregation should always be one of humility, grace thinking. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And that, what does that mean? Two, that means you never, ever make an issue of others, believers' sins or failures. You never make an issue of other believers' sins or failures. You have no humility when you do that. You're arrogant. You're not living the spiritual life. You're in the cosmic system. My job as the pastor, one of the most important jobs I have, is to protect you, protect your privacy. None of you are perfect. Not because I follow you around. I just know what the Bible says. You have a sin nature and a free will. You screw up. There's other words you could throw in there, but the dignity of the clergy, I won't use them tonight. I've used them before, but I'm not going to use them tonight. You respect the privacy of everyone. And allow the people to come and to learn the Word of God and look into the mirror of the Word of God and see themselves in the mirror of God's Word. And if they're out of line, they have a chance to come to their senses. Come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and start making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. But when you clothe yourself with humility toward one another in the congregation, you never, ever make an issue of others' sins or failures. 3, you never superimpose your own legalistic ideas on others. You never superimpose your own legalistic ideas on others. People come here in freedom and they're free to learn the Word of God and they're free to let God work in their life. We're in all different places. Some are baby believers, some are adolescent believers. There's a few mature believers. But let God work in the lives of each one and give them their privacy. And clothe yourself with humility toward one another. You never superimpose your own legalistic ideas on others. You make sure that every believer sitting in the congregation has the same grace opportunity to assemble and learn the Word of God and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, just as you do. 4, if God, verse 6 then tells us that if God doesn't promote you, you're not promoted. Now that's a very important concept. That's 1 Peter 5, verse 6. If God doesn't promote you, you're not promoted. Now, there's a lot of people that are out trying to promote themselves. That'll never work. All that is arrogance. When you're trying to promote yourself, you're preoccupied with yourself, selfish, self-centered, and that will never work. If you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, God will promote you at the exact right time. And it'll be by His grace and by His power, not you promoting yourself. So if God doesn't promote you, you're not promoted. 5, divine promotion is based on you having humility and you living the spiritual life, making the good decisions to walk in the light, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, by the power of the filling of the Spirit. Keep on being empowered or filled with the Spirit. Keep on walking by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual skills. Divine promotion is based on you having humility and living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The believer with humility, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, will have degrees of happiness compatible with his spiritual growth. Happiness is a spectrum. Goes from contentment all the way to ecstatics. But the believer living in the cosmic system will be confused. He'll be bored. He will try to achieve by his own ability and by his own scheming. He fails to recognize that if he has humility and grows up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God will promote him and then he will really achieve. Achievement is like human life. They both belong to God. Turn over to Luke 14:11. Luke 14:11. Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself, this is self-promotion, this is arrogance, he will be humbled, humiliated. But the one who humbles himself shall be exalted, promoted by God. So one, self-exaltation includes all the facets of arrogance. Self-exaltation includes all the facets of arrogance, such as hatred and slander, maligning, gossiping, judging, jealousy, bitterness. So self-exaltation includes all the facets of arrogance, such as hatred, slander, maligning, gossiping, judging, jealousy, bitterness. Two, on the other hand, humility orients everything in life to the grace of God. You see, the humble believer knows that all that he has and all that he is because of who and what God is. He knows that God is everything and he is nothing. He knows God is the quarterback and he calls the plays. He knows that God is the potter and that he's the clay. And he just, one, he's teachable. He wants to know God. He wants to know his plan, his will, and he wants to execute it. And just let the Lord take care of everything else. The Lord will take care of everything else. He will bless you, promote you, at the exact right time. So humility orients everything in life to the grace of God, while arrogance orients everything in life to self. Humility orients everything in life to the grace of God, while arrogance orients everything in life to self. Without humility, you will never have virtue. Without humility, you will never have virtue. Three, humility is the basic ingredient for the believer's capacity for life and love and happiness and blessing and Christian service. Humility is the basic ingredient for the believer's capacity for life and love and happiness and blessing and Christian service. For only humility has the grace perspective of life. Grace perspective. Everything depends on who and what God is, not who and what you are. It isn't who and what you are. It's who and what God is. God is everything. You are nothing. All that you have and all that you are is because of who and what God is. His amazing grace. Four. Humility is the basis for gratitude. Humility is the basis for gratitude, appreciation for people, and true thanksgiving toward God. When you reach spiritual adulthood, your humility will reach its... You'll have genuine humility, not enforced humility. When you reach spiritual maturity, you will have genuine humility. When you have genuine humility, every facet of your spiritual life is phenomenal. You have a phenomenal prayer life. And you have learned to do a right thing the right way. And the very first part of that fantastic prayer life is thanksgiving. I love praying. I truly love praying. And the longest section of my prayer is just thanking God. Thanking God for who and what He is. Thanking God for His grace. And that just gets longer and longer and longer the more I study the scriptures. And I thank God. That's humility. Thank God for His essence. Thank God for His attributes. And I thank Him for every single attribute He has. They're all critically important. I thank Him He's the sovereign God of the universe. I thank Him that He's a holy God of absolute righteousness and perfect justice, infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair with all of His creation, infinitely fair with me, infinitely fair with every one of you, infinite virtue love, infinite personal love. Infinite impersonal love, first of all. He loves the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. Infinite personal love, which He manifests to His righteousness, to the other members of the Godhead because they're absolute righteousness, to every believer in human history because He imputes His righteousness to us. And for us in the church age, He's blessed us with a double portion of His righteousness because we're also entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved. He loves us with infinite personal love because of who and what Christ is, not who and what we are. I thank Him for His eternal life. He's given the gift of eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. I thank Him He's the omniscient, all-knowing God. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. He is the omnipresent God, immanent, transcendent. I thank Him that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit indwells every church-age believer, empowering us that we might glorify God to the maximum. I thank Him He's immutable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank Him He's veracity, infinite truth and faithfulness to fulfill His promises and His word. I thank Him He's a God of grace. And I go through all the categories of grace. Plan is grace, His policy is grace, salvation is by grace, spirituality is by grace. I thank Him for the 40 grace blessings He gives us in salvation. Logistical grace blessing and support He gives us to keep us alive in the devil's world so we can make good decisions for Him and His Word and advance to maturity. When we advance to maturity, I thank Him for the greater grace blessings He has for us, spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, dying grace blessing. I thank Him for the greater grace blessing for all eternity He gives to the winners at the judgment seat of Christ, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, crown of glory, order of the morning star. I thank Him for the dying grace blessing, intensified happiness and blessing, no matter how He decides to bring us home to be with Him. That's just a start of my prayer life. For the winner believer, that becomes SOP. Humility is the basis for gratitude, appreciation for people, and true thanksgiving toward God. Unfortunately, today, many believers have no gratitude because they're arrogant. They have no humility. 5. Humility is a defense against the cosmic system with its demonizing influence. Humility is a defense against the cosmic system with its demonizing influence. For the unbeliever, humility is developed through the laws of divine establishment. For the believer, humility is developed only by living the spiritual life by the spiritual scale. 6. Humility protects the believer from almost everything in Satan's cosmic system because humility is total grace orientation. Humility protects the believer from almost everything in Satan's cosmic system because it is a total grace orientation. 7, therefore humility is based on the absolute truth of the Word of God that you have learned and believed and is in your heart. That's point 2. Point 3, the perfect example of humility is the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect example of humility is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our role model. Turn over to Philippians 2. The perfect example of humility is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our role model. Philippians 2, let's start at verse 5. Your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, I've heard a lot of Christians that talk about, well, what would Jesus do? Thing is, they haven't got a clue as what Jesus would do. For example, Jesus took a whip and whipped all the money changers out of the temple. Whipped them. That's what Jesus would do. So I thought about bringing... I have a whip at home. I don't need it for Debbie. I do need it for my sons from time to time, but I have a whip, and I thought I will bring that to church sometime. What would Jesus do? Well, he took the whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. That's one thing Jesus did. Most of these people say, well, what would Jesus do? They have no idea. Your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, that is, he is the eternal God, deity, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He is eternal God. But, verse 7, he made himself nothing. Now that phrase, he made himself nothing, it's the Greek verb kenao. K-E-N-O, long O. Now, there's been a lot of false doctrine taught about this, but there's the true doctrine of kenosis. The true doctrine of kenosis is the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes so that he could carry out the incarnation plan that God the Father had for him. God the Father designed an incarnation plan for his Son, Jesus Christ. And he left heaven, took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth, and he lived a life totally dependent in his humanity, totally dependent on the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God. So he voluntarily chose not to use certain divine attributes in order to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father. God the Father designed the very first unique spiritual life in all of human history and gave it to his Son at the first advent. Jesus Christ in his humanity lived that human life by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. He lived the first ever unique spiritual life and proved that it works. And then he passed it on to us, royal family of God in the church age. It never existed before the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That's the very first unique spiritual life. It will never occur again after the rapture of the church. We are living in the greatest dispensation in all of human history. We are living in the dispensation of the greatest glory. We're going to study that in 2 Corinthians 3. The age of Israel had the Mosaic Law, and the Mosaic Law had a glory, but it was a fading glory. We live in the greatest dispensation of human history, the church age, with an ever-increasing, overflowing, extremely rich glory that goes on and on and on and on forever. Does not fade away. And that is directly related to the spiritual life that was passed on to us from the Lord Jesus Christ to the royal family of God. That has great glory. The Mosaic Law is like a match. The Mosaic Law has a glory. It's like a match. The glory of the church age and the unique spiritual life is like the sun in comparison to the match of the Mosaic Law. The match will go out. Well, the glory of the unique spiritual life will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. So, verse 7, the true doctrine of kenosis, the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to carry out and fulfill the incarnation plan of God the Father. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, true humanity, so he's undiminished deity, verse 6, and true humanity, verse 8. What did he do in his true humanity? He humbled himself. How did he humble himself? Here is the biblical definition of humility. He humbled himself by becoming obedient. Obedient to what? Obedient to the authority of God the Father and His incarnation plan. The incarnation plan of the Father was for Him to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. And in humility, He obeyed the authority of God the Father and the incarnation plan and went to the cross and provided, solved mankind's problem of sin. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So, one, the greatest example of genuine humility in all of human history occurred with our Lord Jesus Christ in His true humanity. The greatest example of genuine humility in all of human history occurred with our Lord Jesus Christ in His true humanity. Two, this passage gives us the biblical definition of humility. That is obedience to authority. That is the biblical definition of humility. Obedience to authority. Three, Jesus Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. That is the death of the cross. Now, when he took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth, he grew up in a family. He had to learn humility. He had to learn humility from the authority of his parents. And he did. And then he learned humility from the Word of God. Four, he was obedient to the authority of God the Father and carried out the incarnation plan that the Father had for him. He was obedient to the authority of God the Father and carried out the incarnation plan that the Father had for him. This is why when we have the communion service, we have two elements, the bread and the cup. We look at the bread. We're looking at the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're looking at His genuine humility. Obedience to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father. Five. He is not only true humanity, He's God. He could have said, no, I'm not going to the cross. If it had been me, I'd have said, to hell with them, God. Wipe them all out and let's create a new bunch. Create a new batch. But you see, I'm not God, so. He was free to avoid the cross, but he humbled himself and became obedient. 6, there would be no salvation without our Lord's humility. There would be no salvation without our Lord's humility. Seven, our Lord humbled himself in a special way by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. By becoming obedient to the authority of God the Father. And he's co-equal with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal, have the very same attributes. How fantastic is that? He's co-equal with the Father, but he was obedient to the authority of God the Father and obedient to the incarnation plan that the Father had for him, Operation Grace, the cross. The greatest example of humility, the biblical definition of humility. All right. That's point 3. We are on light speed. Next week, point 4. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.